Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude Fanning the Embers of Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Fanning the Embers of Evangelism.
And you spent Christmases together. You spent Thanksgivings together. You went on vacations together. You spent quality time together over the years. And the fact that your loved one is going to die and go to a Christless hell, man, there should be a passion in our soul that desires to not see them go there. And just think of the different relationship scenarios and people that we know, that we work with, that are our neighbors, and they would actually die and go to hell. If you put up that next slide, what is this guy thinking about? What is he thinking? We have all seen this Rodin's statue of the thinker. What is he thinking about? Well, this is taken out of Dante's Inferno, and basically this man is standing or sitting before the gate of hell, looking at hell, and a lot of people don't know this, looking at hell and thinking about the horrors of hell. Maybe we need to be like this statue right here. Maybe we need to kneel, pray in meditation, and just think about what that means. You know, we don't think about that. Again, I mean, hey, I've said over and over again, if I was God, I wouldn't let anybody go to hell. If I was God, because I in my mind, I just can't fathom the fact that somebody is going to suffer eternally. That I can't comprehend that. And I struggle with that whole idea. So if I wrote a Bible, you know, I would make a way for everybody to get in, because that's what I want to see. But even though I have this Bible, and even though I told it, and even though I quote it, I didn't wrote it. So I didn't put it in there. It's in there. And if we accept it by faith, then we have to realize that people that we love and people that we know are dying, and that's exactly where they're going. And when I think about a quote by Charles Spurgeon, Spurgeon said, if people are going to go to hell, let them go jumping over our bodies to get into the flame. Wow. If they're going to go to hell, let them go jumping over our bodies to get into the flame. And so, first of all, we need to have a passion because people are dying and they're going to hell. The second thing is that we need to have a passion out of obedience to God's command, that this is something that God has said. Now, I will say this, because if you look at certain Bibles, right, Matthew, the ending part of Mark is not in there, all right, in some Bibles. I understand that. Okay, so I'm saying that, realizing that in some manuscripts, in some Bibles, that last part is not in there. But I will say this, that the concept is in the rest of the Bible. And the concept is, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what is commanded. Acts 1:8. and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. This was not the great wish. This was not the great hope. This was not the great suggestion. This is the great commandment. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be obedient to what God would have us to do? See, the problem is what Paul Harvey says. And Paul Harvey says this, is that too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. You know, Jesus has called us to go out and to fish, but we are more focused on keeping the aquarium. You know, I praise God that, you know, we get ready to have a nice aquarium. Hopefully this time next year, you know, we're going to have a nice aquarium, right? For us to swim around in, right? You know, we're going to have that new sanctuary. And the aquarium, it's going to be nice, man. We're going to have all kinds of exotic fish, right? You guys are the fish, right? We're going to have swordfish, and we're going to have goldfish, and, you know, all these little fishing, and, you know, we're going to put decorations and designs that we can swim around, and it's going to be a nice aquarium. But the aquarium is not the only thing that we're about. You know, we need to realize that if we just keep the aquarium, oh, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways, it's that the fish in the aquarium at some point are going to leave or going to die. And the aquarium is going to be empty. And so we need to go out and we need to fish for fish so that we can stock the aquarium. Not so that we can brag and say, well, we got this many, we got that many, but we can have an aquarium that's filled with people with a passion for God and a heart for discipleship and want to go out and make a difference in the world. And so this is what God has called us to do. This is a command. You can't avoid it. You can't deny it. You can't get over it. You can't get around it. You can't get under it. This is something that Jesus said to all of his followers. Point number three, why should we have a passion? Why should we rekindle the flame? We should rekindle the flame because hurting people need abundant life. Now, I'm not going to go over this again, but I'm going to introduce this simply by saying, and maybe some of you will go study it after I say it, but the thief is not the devil. That's all I'm going to say. The thief is not the devil. So you go study it. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But here goes the part that I want to focus on anyways, and that is, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come? What is one reason that he came? Jesus left heaven, came on this earth for 30-some years, died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. Why? So that people might have life. That Jesus took Bill Glaze from a life that was without Christ, from a life that was, I mean, from a human standpoint, in the world standpoint, my life might have had value, but spiritually, a life that had no value. And he saved me, and he gave me an abundant life. And now the things that I used to find joy, and I used to find fun, and I used to find exciting, and the things that I thought were boring and dull, you know, God has put me into that, and he has given me an abundant life, a life that I enjoy to the max, a life that's filled with all the good things that he has for us. And the fact is that God has that for everybody. Now, look, I was listening to a radio program, Jack Graham, PowerPoint, and he gave this illustration. And he said, in a neighborhood of 100 people, seven people are suffering from depression and contemplating suicide. In a neighborhood of 100 people on average, seven people are dealing with abuse or addiction to alcohol or drugs in a neighborhood of 100 people. In a neighborhood of 100 people, 14 are overcome with fear and anxiety. In a neighborhood of 100 people, 8 are affected by the loss of a job. In the neighborhood of 100 people, 3 are grieving the death of a loved one. In a neighborhood of 100 people, 60 don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And the fact of the matter is that when you get saved, all your problems don't disappear. I'm not going to stand here and say that salvation is like a magic genie. You can rub the side of the cross, and all of a sudden, Jesus will come out like a genie and grant you all your wishes. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Your problems are not going to leave. As a matter of fact, when you get saved, you might have... Yeah, you might be inviting more problems. You might be inviting more problems into the situation, all right? But the fact is that you will have an abundant life. That's the promise that Christ gave. And so that in the midst of your problems, you know, I did a devotion last night, and I was sharing with the guys that I was doing a devotion with about the Sunday that I asked the men here at Bethany that had ever been in the military if they raised their hand. I think there was about 4 guys that raised their hand. And I said, did any of you ever have to be out like in a country or a continent on this earth where it was cold and sub-zero weather, and all you had was a sleeping bag and a tent? And some of the guys said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. And the point that I was trying to make to these guys I was talking to last night is that, you know, like, it's cold here, right? And Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. As a good soldier. And so, you know, now I think about those guys in the military and how that they have to sleep in those tents, and I know they got sleeping bags and all the kinds of stuff, but just think of being out there in weather like this and have to sleep out there in that. And you know, Paul, endure hardness as a good soldier, as a good soldier. So, you know, as I get out of my car and the wind cuts through me, as I go into my house, or as I'm walking the streets and the wind cuts through me, you know what I say? Endure hardness as a good soldier, baby. Come on, man. Man up. Man up, brother. Man up. And endure hardness as a good soldier. And so sometimes it's just our attitude. And when I put that mindset in, and I hate cold weather. I hate cold weather. But when I put that mindset in, I can deal with it. It's honestly, I can deal with it. When I take that verse that Paul gave, and I said, man, you got to man up. The cold is cutting through you. You got to endure hardness as a good soldier. And so this is what I'm saying. Because I would like to think that abundant life, right, means all good things happen. It means that we tiptoe to the tulips and we just have a wonderful time. I would love to think that that's what abundant life means. But abundant life means also that the cold weather is going to come in your life, and that when it comes, you got to man up. That the scripture gives you the strength to be able to man up. And that's what abundant life means. It don't mean that people are not going to have death around them. It doesn't mean that people are not going to have depressing things happen. But it means that you have the strength through the scriptures to man up and to be able to deal with whatever comes your way. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundant. Do you have a passion? Do you have a passion for those who are hurting? For those who are struggling? Do you have a passion? And that's where the fire of evangelism begins to be flamed. A fan. Passion number 4. It's the wise thing to do. It's the wise thing to do. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Do you have a passion for wisdom? If you have a passion for wisdom, then you ought to have a passion for souls. Because according to Solomon, this is the wise thing to do. Now, why is it wise? And I'm going to put it in the form of a rhyme, right? Why is it wise to win souls? All right? Because sinners are justified, believers are edified, Satan is terrified, and God is glorified. When you win souls, when you lead somebody to Christ, a sinner is justified. Whenever somebody comes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that person has been declared righteous before God. Sinners are justified. When you lead somebody to Christ, the body of Christ is built up. The body is edified. Believers are edified. And I would have to think that Satan is terrified because you snatched another soul out of his domain. Yo, what did Jude say? I like what Jude said. Jude said, what? Snatching them out of the fires of hell, pulling them out. And when we lead somebody to Christ, when we see somebody that we love and that we know come to Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Satan has to be terrified. But most of all, that when somebody comes to Christ, God is glorified. God is glorified. Winning souls, it's just the wise thing to do. It's just the wise thing to do. There are so many benefits when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let me say this, and I'm winding down, and I'm hurrying as I wind down. But let me say this: I'm not naive enough to believe that everybody out there in the world is just waiting for you to come and share the gospel with them. I'm not naive enough to think that. I'm not naive enough to believe that everybody out there is just waiting. Oh, if so-and-so don't come, I just wish. I understand that. So that's why I'm going to do a whole message on prayer and evangelism. Because when you can't break through the stony heart, God can melt the heart of stone and make a person ready to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to give you three personal examples in my life, three personal examples of people that I dealt with that were hard, that were rebellious, that wanted to have nothing to do with the gospel, and that through the power of God and prayer, that each one of these individuals basically broke down and asked the question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And you know what? Maybe some of y'all sitting right here today, you were in that same situation. You didn't want to hear anything about the gospel. You didn't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. Oh, here they come again. Here they come. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Mom, don't say anything else to me about Christ. I don't want to hear anything else about Christ. Look, man, we on the jump. Don't tell me anything. Some of y'all were just there. And the Spirit of God melted your heart. And you came running and asked, what must I do to be saved? And so we're going to do a whole message just on prayer. How do you pray for unsaved folk? And then the last thing, that there's a reward in heaven. Now, I already know. Oh, man, Pastor, we don't do stuff because we get a reward. I just do it because I love God. All right, don't get super spiritual on me now, all right? All right. Yeah, I love God too. But there is, I mean, the Bible says that when we win souls, that there is a reward. Look what Paul told the people in Thessalonica. He said, for what is our hope or joy? Look at this. What is our crown of rejoicing? What is my reason for rejoicing? Are not even you, that you are my joy. You are my crown. The fact that you accepted Christ. You know, just think how man, isn't it going to be a blessing in heaven when you get there and somebody that you led to Christ runs up to you and say, oh, man, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Because I wouldn't be here now if you didn't share it. Or maybe God might have used somebody else, but he used you. Thank you. Thank you. You are our hope. You are our joy. And you are our crown. When? Not now. Well, it could be now, so I don't want to rule out the possibility of now. But when? In the presence of our Lord Jesus, when? When he comes. At his coming. At his coming. We got to renew our passion. We got to renew our passion for souls. And as I close the message today, in New Orleans, there was a pool. And they celebrated a whole year without a person drowning. A whole year without someone drowning. And so 200 people gathered together to have a celebration for the fact that no one had drowned in a whole year. There were 100 certified lifeguards that were in attendance of this party. As the party ended, 4 of the lifeguards began to clear the pool out. And as they cleared the pool out, they found a man by the name of Jerome Moody, fully dressed in the deep end, who had drowned. The lifeguards pulled him out and they tried to revive him, but to no avail. Jerome ended up dying. And the sad thing about this story is that they were celebrating and they had 100 certified lifeguards and the man drowned. True story. And I often think that in the church, we have these Holy Ghost celebrations, and we celebrate this, and we celebrate that, and we stand up, and we praise, and we worship, and we got all these certified lifeguards in here, certified Christians, bona fide, born again, individuals, and yet and still, in the midst of a cesspool of immorality, in the midst of a cesspool of debauchery, our loved ones, our co-workers, our relatives, our neighbors are drowning in a cesspool of immorality. And yet and still, we come. And I have no problem. I love celebrating. Oh, I love celebrating. Because like I said, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party never ends. You know, I love celebrating. But my brothers and sisters, you know, we're certified. We are certified lifeguards. And we can celebrate, but let's not lose the reason why we've been certified. If God just saved you to go to heaven, he would have took you the day you died. He left you here for a reason. And the reason is like Jesus said, that you might go out and that you might be witnesses unto me and that you might make disciples. And so this first month of January, we're going to focus on evangelism, rekindling the fires of evangelism. And put back that first slide, because we see the next slide. We see what it takes for a fire. There's fuel, that's the gospel. There's air, that's the Holy Ghost. And there's passion. And you have to ask yourself the question, do I have the passion?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Understanding the Gospel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Fanning the Embers of Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Fanning the Embers of Evangelism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Fanning the Embers of Evangelism. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.